It is more than a hymn verse when it says that we may be like thee, like you, O God. That is our hope and our prayer, and that's what we're encouraged to do. And that's what today's scriptures are going to guide us to do, and try to do this in a very real way, if you let me call it, a rubber meets the road sort of way. You know, when you hear Jesus in the gospel reading say, if your eye caused you to sin, gouge it out. If your hand caused you to sin, cut it off. I don't know about you, but I haven't noticed too many one-eyed, one-handed Christians hanging around in church. What he's really trying to say, to use little English major in me gets to come out, he's using a device called hyperbole. He's making a great exaggerated statement to try to really drive home a point. And his point is, sin is devastating. Sin is like a cancer. Sin, if you let it in, just spreads and wreaks havoc everywhere among everyone. So do what you can to stop it. And it's very dramatic. It's very obvious when he's talking in the second part of that verse. It's maybe less so at the beginning. But Jesus says, and we hear this again, move forward in that scripture from Matthew chapter 5, verse 24. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. Go and be what? Reconciled is what he's trying to say, is what he's trying to have us get across. You know, that's a pretty dramatic statement, right? Stop the offering. How many churches are going to be up for that, right? Stop the offering as half the folks bail out and go get reconciled. But in his own dramatic way, Jesus is trying to say the reconciliation, the relationship between people is so important that it's worth me making this really bold statement, even saying, forget the offering, get things fixed between one another. And I think Jesus is saying that for a very powerful reason. Be reconciled to your brother or your sister. Then come and offer your gift. So that's the title of today's message and what we're going to focus in on, this idea of reconciliation. And why? Why make such a big deal of it? Because I think as you hear in the epistle reading, when you hear people saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, you hear all these divisions. You hear him there describe when he talks about this idea of when going on and saying there in Deuteronomy that while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh behaving in a mere human way? Strife. It makes our family gatherings painful. Makes it maybe even sometimes where the family doesn't gather, right? Because they know the strife is going to take place. So let's just avoid the strife by not getting together with person X or whoever it may be. The thing is, it's still there. It eats at us. Now, not that I'm going to ask anybody to raise their hand, okay? But I want you to think for a moment. Oh, whenever I've done this in church, it's almost always been true. There is one person's name that if I said their name right now, your pulse would quicken. Your teeth would go on edge. You'd go, I don't want to talk about them. Right? There's just somebody that's in our life that there's this sense of wrong or strife between us and them. Either they hurt us or we hurt them and we're trying to, you know, sort of avoid and stay apart from that. That strife is there. And whether it's in a church, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in our workplaces, it is safe to say that the strife, the things that Paul was talking about, the jealousy, the envy, all this backstabbing, it doesn't do anybody any good. Now, the cheap, easy solution to this is we don't hear the radicalness of what Jesus said about gouging out our eye, cutting off our hand, or stopping our offering. We just throw up our hands and go, oh, come on, Pastor. I mean, I'm only human. You know, did you hear what it said in that scripture? He said that when you and I have jealousy and strife, we're just behaving only in a human way. Now, it's an interesting idea to talk about that. Think about it for just a minute. Oh, I'm only human, right? So we're behaving in a human way. Do you know that Jesus was human? Can we remember that? He was human and didn't sin. He was human and didn't have anything that he had to reconcile with other people, or perhaps some others with him. But I seem to recall when he was hanging on the cross and being nailed there, he cried out over and over again, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." He held no grudge against anyone. He didn't wait for you and me to clean up our acts, but instead he went to the cross and died on our behalf while there was still sin and strife and jealousy in us. Friends, what I'm trying to say is our problem is not that we're human, just Jesus was. Our problem is that we're sinful. We're behaving in a strictly human way, and the standpoint of, you know, we talked last week about you cannot live the Christian life without the power that Christ offers in the Holy Spirit. If you and I are going to try to settle tit for tat and, you know, well, he said, she said, and all this strife stuff, then we're going to stay at just that human level. But if we allow the same Spirit that filled Jesus, the same Spirit that empowered him to forgive others, if we will allow that Spirit into us, then we can behave in more than just a human way, in a higher way. Jealousy and strife among you, you're only behaving in a human way, but you and I are more than that. We're more because we're his baptized children. We're more because we're strengthened here at this altar by his own living presence to help our faith grow and face the rubber meets the road real issues of life. We're more. More because we are God's loved children, that he forgives, that he says, "I don't count your sin against you anymore." I love how this is put in another of Paul's writings, his other letter to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He puts it this way: if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That means you're more than just you handling this problem. It's more than just you handling the slights and the insults and the hurts and the legitimate sins and even abuses that were put against us. It's more than just you bearing that. You in Christ are a new creation, and now with him in you, you have the ability to process that, to do it as God would do. The old is gone, the new has come, and all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us this ministry of reconciliation, gave to us this power and even this calling to help make things right between us and other people. That is, in Christ Jesus, God was reconciling the world to himself. He was not counting people's trespasses against them and entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. It is as if God were making his appeal through us. God making his appeal through us. What power we have to help be people of reconciling and bring that kind of peace together. So think of that person, that friend, that coworker, that sister or brother, that spouse, whoever it is, that child. Think of that person that has something against you. You hurt them. You wounded them. You know it and they know it. And it's been there. It's been the elephant in the room. It's been the porcupine that everybody's been dancing around. They have something against you. Here's our chance, because we are not, making ourselves just be worms when we do it, but with Christ in us and the strength of his Spirit, we can go and be ministers of reconciliation. Say, "I hurt you. I'm sorry." We don't have to be the politician or the sports person or the Astros trying to say, "Well, if we've offended you in any way, we're sorry." You know, we can look someone in the eye and go, "You know, I can only imagine how much that hurt when I said this, when I did that, how that made you feel. I can only imagine how that created the gap between us, and I'm so sorry. I don't want that gap anymore. I want to make things right with you." If a brother or sister has something against us, going and saying and doing such a thing is a way for the walls to come down and for the healing and the reconciliation, and frankly, for the kingdom of God and his peace to spread. Well, what about if you and I have something against them? It could be very deep. It could be very heavy. It could be literally that some one of us was abused by someone else verbally, physically, in any other way that we want to imagine. You have something else against someone else. And I just want to say, first of all, before we even think about the other person, think of how tiring it is for you and me to carry burdens like that. For us, just by me asking you to think about that person's name, all the weight of it came back on you this morning. The teeth on edge, all the bitterness of it, maybe even a tear in your eye, how much that hurt. And we carry that hurt around when we don't embrace this invitation from Jesus to be reconciled. We carry that weight around. It's someone once said this, that seeking revenge is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die, right? It's what we're carrying out. It's what it's doing to corrode and weigh down and weary you and me. So life switches from being, in high definition down to just regular resolution, down maybe even just to black and white, just to blurs. And people become objects. When we have something against someone else, can we let the love that Jesus had for us and his forgiveness help us lay that burden down? And we're not saying it didn't hurt. We're not saying that maybe even deserves that that person goes to jail for goodness sake. But can we lay it in the hands of the Savior who laid down his life for us and say, I trust you to bring about justice in this situation, but I need to let it go because of what it's doing to me and what it's done to our relationship. If we have something against someone else, putting it in God's hands. What it means when we say forgive, the literal term for that is to let go, to release it. Not let go like it didn't matter or it didn't hurt, but let it go into God's loving hands. Let him lift the burden off of us. When we do that, we're really living out what Moses was saying, what God inspired Moses to say in our Old Testament reading, when he said, I want you to choose life that you and your offspring may live. That we don't just bury the hatchet, but we remember where we buried it. But we bury the hatchet and we tell our children so they don't become the next Hatfields and McCoys, this issue between me and them is done. Nothing that you have to worry about. Nothing that you have to carry. This is living God's way, empowered by God's Spirit, when we choose life and choose to be part of his reconciling work. May he empower us to lay those things in his strong arms and be freed. Amen. I invite you to join me now in speaking our words of faith.